Listening Library presents The Wonderful Wishes of Bee by Catherine Nolte. Read for you by Catherine Tabor. For my own glad, I miss you. Chapter 1. It all started with Neptune. Not the planet, the cat. Though he wasn't named Neptune yet. He was just an anonymous kitten stuck in a waterspout, and I was trying to save him. That's what I told him, too. "Please stop scratching me," I said. "I'm trying to save your life." It was New Year's Day. Glad was dead, and always would be. That was the truth, and a point-blank fact. Here's another fact. There are many ways to miss somebody. You can miss what they looked like, or how they smelled, or the feel of their palm in your hand. You can miss the sound of their voice, or the space their life took up in your head. You can miss the notes they left, tucked in your lunchbox, or slipped in your sock drawer, or hidden in the pages of your books. I missed my Grandma Glad all the ways. Every single one of them. All the ways I could think of, and all the ways I couldn't think of, too. But back to the kitten. When I told him I was trying to save his life, either the cat thought I was lying, or he didn't understand, because he started to scratch me even more. Like he was pretending my arm was a scratch-and-sniff sticker, and he wanted to get all the smell out. What the cat who would be named Neptune didn't know, though, was that I was pretending, too. I was pretending his claws weren't bringing tears to my eyes, that I couldn't feel the beads of blood sprouting on my wrist. What Future Planet couldn't see was that the whole experience, me crouched on the sidewalk in my polka dot pajamas and fuzzy slippers, arm jammed inside a water spout, was a good one. It was training for my goal, which was this. I wanted to stop feeling. You know the Tin Man, who wanted a real beating heart? Well, I was a real beating girl, who wanted to be a Tin Man. Right in the center of my chest is where I wanted to be him, to replace the horrible muscle that pumped and pumped, filling my life with feelings. I was sick of missing Glad, sick of all my other feelings too. So I decided to do something about it. See, what I imagined was my heart, all stretched out and bumpy. The bumps were my feelings. Every time I didn't cry, or wince, or think, I wish I could see her again. It was like I was taking a mallet and hitting one of those bumps. The more times I hit, the smoother my heart got. Till one day, it wouldn't be muscle anymore, but perfectly flat, like a sheet of metal. Goodbye, heart. Hello, Tin Man. I got down on my stomach and pressed my face to the water spout. Two eyes shone back. You think you're hurting me, I told the eyes. But really, you're helping me. The more you scratch, the less I feel. The less I feel, the more metallic I become. The kitten hissed. I've got all day, I told him. I have absolutely nowhere to go. Who you talking to? A voice asked. Unfortunately, the voice did not belong to the kitten. I stayed on my stomach, eye pressed to the metal spout. The voice belonged to a boy. Maybe, I thought, if I lie here and don't say anything, the voice will go away. I decided to count to 20 in my head. 1, 2. Why aren't you answering me? The voice asked. 3, 4. Can't you hear? The voice was kind of rude. 5, 6. What you looking at? 7. Can I see it? It was also rather annoying. 8, 9. You might cut yourself, That metal looks sharp. Tin. Rusty, too. I bet you'll get tetanus. The voice was a bit of a worrywart. 11. 12. Your whole face will fall off. Green slime will leak from your eyes. The voice didn't know much about infections. 13. 14. Well, I tried being nice to you. I guess I'll have to be mean instead. 15. 16. I'm gonna kick you. The voice was violent. 17. As hard as I can. And that's really hard, because I'm super strong. The voice was very violent. 18. I'm the strongest kid in Ohio. Plus I got steel-toed boots, with nails sticking out the ends. The voice was probably lying. 19. Okay, you're gonna regret this. Here I go. Don't. I sat up. The voice was indeed a liar. The boy was not wearing steel-toed boots with nails sticking out at the ends. In fact, he wasn't wearing boots at all. He had on a pair of dirty sneakers with a hole in both toes. I could see his socks. You're a liar, I told him. The boy shrugged. My name's Caleb Chernavichin, he said, as if that explained everything. As if a boy named Caleb Chernavichin could not help but be a liar. I stared at him. His face was round and covered in freckles, like someone had taken a salt shaker full of freckles and shaken them all over his head. He had short, straw-colored hair with long bangs that stuck straight up off his forehead. He wore a puffy winter coat that was so small he couldn't zip it, and the sleeves came up to his elbows. He was a ridiculous-looking boy. I wanted nothing to do with him. What's your name? He asked. Beatrice Corwell. Are you 10? I nodded. So am I, he said, and tilted back on his heels, as if that were really something. There are a lot of people in the world who are 10, I told him. So, really, we have nothing in common. Yeah, well, my dad is a famous wrestler, so I'm richer than you are. I'm not rich at all. I lay down again on the sidewalk with my face to the waterspout. I'm going to get back to saving you as soon as this boy leaves, I whispered in case the kitten thought I'd forgotten. Neptune to be hissed. Who are you talking to? Caleb asked. No one. I sat up again. Why aren't you wearing a coat? It's bad luck to wear a coat on New Year's Day. I don't know why I said that. I didn't believe it. I just made it up on the spot. That happened to me a lot. I'd open my mouth, and out would spill words I hadn't planned to say. It was, my teacher said, a fatal flaw. The real reason I didn't have on a coat was because I'd forgotten to put one on when I ran outside. I'd been sitting in Glad's room, staring at Bright Baby, when I heard the kitten. Despite being on the second floor, I could hear its cry plain as day. I was a natural-born cat rescuer, which was why I already had 7 of them. So I flew down the staircase, even though it was January and cold as a popsicle, even though I had on polka-dot pajamas and fuzzy slippers. Caleb Chernavichin looked at those slippers and said, "You sure are dressed funny." I stared at his too small coat. "Have you looked in the mirror?" "Your hair, too. It's all crooked or something." Now that was the truth, and a point-blank fact. My hair was the color of mud, cut just below my chin, and very crooked. That was because my mom had cut it, and she was a horrible hair cutter. When Glad was alive, my hair had been a thing of great beauty. I looked like one of the models whose pictures hang in beauty salons. In fact, I was a haircut model whose headshot hung in Glad's beauty parlor. It still hung there, actually. But now, thanks to my mom.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?